Now, today is a very important lesson. They're all important lessons, right? But when we talk about Christ's likeness, when we talk about putting off sin and putting on righteousness, when we talk about furthering the gospel in loving and building up one another, today is very foundational in how to do that, okay? We've talked a lot about the theme of the book. It's justification by faith alone, being declared righteous because of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Prince of Peace, all right? He is the author of our salvation. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior. He lived the perfect life. He died the substitutionary death. He rose again. And by repenting and believing in him, I have new life. There are those that teach you have to work your way or earn your way to heaven, which we know is impossible. But for those of us that have come to know Jesus, we have been saved by faith. And we have talked about how justification by faith is defended, how it is explained, and now we're talking about applying it. Applying it. I am a Christian. I love Jesus. I have all of this wonderful head knowledge from chapters 1 through 4. Now, what do I do with that head knowledge? What do I do? Well, as I mentioned on Wednesday, Paul shifts to this idea of justification brings freedom. We are free in Christ. We have been freed from the law. We have been freed from sin. We now can choose to love and to serve, all right? And in that freedom brings discernment. So, unfortunately, the people at these churches in this province of Galatia, they had been deceived and they had been kind of tricked. And he says, no, you are now free to think in Christ. And so you should tell between those who are deceiving you and those who are not. But then we began talking about how justification brings the fruit of the Spirit. Isn't this amazing? All right. We know we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. The Spirit is not an it, he. And God the Spirit, he indwells us. The moment of salvation, the third person of the Trinity indwells us, he renews us, and he seals us, he guarantees our salvation. And that is a comforting thing. Wherever you go, are you ever alone? No, he indwells you. There is always someone there to advocate for you, someone there to understand you, someone there to empower you to do what is right. But at the same time, he is always indwelling you. And so when you see something, he sees it. And when you do something, he knows it. And when you think something and you're like, oh, I don't know if I like where you're going here. But the Holy Spirit, he indwells you and he produces fruit in your life. And we know that fruit, right? We're going to talk about that fruit and what it is. But justification brings the fruit of the Spirit. When it comes to this section, verses 13 through 26, we first of all saw the summation of our calling. And how does Paul summarize our calling? Do you remember? There's one word we're looking for. Love. 100%. I love it. Love. Verse 13, for you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. And we compared it to mom and dad going out on the town and saying, you're home alone. And you're like, whoa, ultimate freedom. But what are you going to do with that time, right? So we were trapped, enslaved to our sin, and Christ frees us from that sin. We don't have to work to save ourselves. He did the work. And now do we go, I'm going to run off and do whatever I want because I know God's going to forgive me? Or do we say, wow, Jesus died for that freedom. So now I'm enslaved to Christ, and I am compelled to love, and I am controlled by his love. That's the biblical idea. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And you've been applying that lesson. I'm so proud of you. hey, come over here. Why don't you sit with us? And hey, it's not a big idea. I know that all the Pop-Tarts are gone, but hey, I love you, so I'll share my Pop-Tart with you. And hey, what's been going on? And hey, oh, you're sharing a prayer request in small group time? I'm gonna write that down, and I'm gonna pray. And I love my leader so much that when they talk, I actually listen to them. Right? Hey, and we're playing a game. Hey, do you want to play this game? Hey, are you new here? Why don't you come sit? Oh, man, it's, you know, warm in our hearts. Our leader hearts are just warm over here. And you've been loving mom and dad. Hey, mom, what do you need? How can I help you? Hey, brother, I know your room's not clean and you're supposed to. Can I love you by helping? And there we go. And if you're like, uh-oh. We need to remember that charge that we're to love one another. And how do we love them? We serve them, right? Mark 10:45. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Verse 15 says, but if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. The church should not be a bunch of backstabbers. All right, a bunch of people biting and fighting and trying to social climb on top of one another. It should be a place of love, and that love comes from our freedom. But we understand that although we have been forgiven of our sins, and although the Holy Spirit, he indwells us, there are still times that we crave sin or we make sinful decisions. That's our current condition. One day, Christian, you're going to go to heaven and you're going to be glorified. You will never sin again. Oh, beautiful day we long for. We're never going to have a bad thought. We're never going to say a bad word. We're always going to do the right thing, but that's heaven. Until we get there, we are called to progressively sanctify in our Christ-likeness, but man, it can be tough, right? That's because we have what the Bible calls the flesh, or what we term the unredeemed humanness. I have been washed, I have been redeemed, I have been made new, I am a new creation, but there are times that I still choose sin. Well, that is because I do not listen to the Spirit who is in me. That is because I do not allow him to fill me. That is because I choose not to walk by him, right? And Christian, when that happens, we need to recognize it. We need to ask for forgiveness, and then we need to make changes. For some of you, you have no desire to battle sin. You have no desire. Okay? You are not a believer. You cannot walk by the Spirit. You do not have the Spirit. But for the Christian, our condition is there is an enemy within. There is a battle going on. All right, I want to do the right thing. I want to read. I want to pray. I want to stay awake during the lesson. But sometimes this flesh is weak, and I give in to that temptation. Well, when that happens, and it's going to happen, you repent and you ask for forgiveness. But how do I make changes, and how do I work to make that sin less and less in my life? Well, he tells them to walk by the Spirit. And we first of all saw a command that results in a promise. What is the command? But I say, instead of biting and devouring one another, I say, walk by the Spirit. What the Holy Spirit illuminates in the scriptures, what the Holy Spirit calls you to, all right, be like Jesus, walk by the Spirit. And what's the promise? And we all know this. When God promises something, he makes good on it, right? He promises you that if you walk by the Spirit, you will not carry out the desire of your flesh. You know, there's some people in our life that are a little bit hard to deal with. And God tells you, how are you to relate to your enemies? You're to love them, right? Is that easy? No. But I can love them, but I must be what? Walking by the Spirit. And we bring up honoring, obeying mom and dad a lot, right? That's a challenge. That can be a difficult thing for you. But if you walk by the Spirit, you're going to enjoy that obedience. You're going to run to that. When we talk about things like purity, if we are walking by the Spirit, then we're going to have overall victory in our life. The guarantee, the promise, do you trust God? He said, look, if you simply walk by the Spirit, you're not going to sin. You are not going to carry out the desire of the flesh. Look, if I said I have a pill, and if you take that pill, you will run a 4.3 40, and you will bench press 300 pounds, and you will back squat 600. Some of you are like, can I have that pill? I would like that, because then I'm going pro, baby. I'm going pro. That sounds amazing. No, I don't have that pill. I'm sorry. Or I would have taken it, and I would run faster and all of those things. But God is saying, if you walk by the Spirit, something better than that, you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Well, then he gives us a reality that reinforces the premise. He says, for the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. This is helpful for us. The Holy Spirit doesn't like the flesh, and the flesh doesn't like the Holy Spirit. And any good we do is simply because the Holy Spirit is working in us and through us. And we talked about the idea of protesting, all right? Did you protest sin in your life? It's very easy for us to look at someone else and say, I can't believe that she did that to her friend. I can't believe she talked bad. And, oh, this guy, I know what this guy did. I can't believe that. What about your own life? Do you look at your own life and say, go away, sin. We don't want you, sin. You have to set your heart, set your mind against sin. Or what are you going to do? You're going to justify it? Oh, it's not that bad. Everybody else is doing it. Well, I'll be forgiven afterwards. No, all right? You ever seen a superhero that has like an arch villain, right? You got Superman and you got the bald guy. No, that's fake. Don't believe in that. Lex Luthor. All right? Superman, Lex Luthor. Batman has arch enemy. He got lots of them. He got like Joker and Penguin, Riddler. He's got cool ones, okay? But you think that your arch enemy is sin. And remember, your unredeemed humanness craves that sin. So you have an enemy, and it's you. And so you got to get out of your own way and allow the Holy Spirit to fill you and to walk by it. And then the reality is that the premise is a proposition that's helping to support a conclusion, which is found in verse 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. You are not controlled by the law. You are not ruled by the law. You are free in Christ, which has been his point in this book. Let's look at a list that reveals a position. It says, now the deeds are evident, which are, we have our list. We have our list in verse 19. Immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. If that is you, if that is what you want, you know, there's some people that just live to fight. They live to fight. Or they live for immorality. They're obsessed and controlled by it. If that is you, the position is, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. This is the unbeliever. And don't deceive yourself. Don't be fooled. If this is you, you are not getting into heaven. There is no participation trophy here, people. You either believe in Jesus or you don't. And if you believe in Jesus, this does not characterize your life. Can we commit these deeds of the flesh? Yes, we can. But it's not who we are, and we repent of those things. So now we come to today's passage. And what we have, surprise, we have another list. You're like, ooh, I like lists. And it reveals another position. The other position, bad. We don't want that. I do not want to be cast in the lake of fire. I do not want to be excluded from God. So what is this other list that reveals another position? Well, let's look first of all at the position. Now, those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Crucified with Christ. This is the one who belongs to Jesus. You belong to Jesus. You are in the kingdom. You are forgiven. You are his slave. You are his servant. And when you look at the Bible, it's very clear what God is communicating to us, all right? And we looked at this wonderful tree the other day. Did anyone ever figure out what type of fruit that is? What do you think, Garrison?
A peach.
You think it's a peach?
AI fruit.
AI fruit? Anyone, any girls over here?
I also think it is a peach.
You also? It could be, all right? Elio?
I think it's an apple.
Well, I don't think it's an apple tree. I've eaten an apple before, okay? I try to avoid peaches. They're gross. I'll eat peach cobbler, all right? But what do you think? What do you got?
What's the white one?
Let's ignore the white one. Let's say, you know, that one's just not ripe or something like that. I need to AI that one, all right? What do you got?
Bananas?
What?
Bananas?
Yeah, it could be bananas, all right? That's where we're going? Okay, last one. No, you know, it actually might be that. I don't know if you know this about me, but I don't like fruit. Okay, I don't really eat fruit or vegetables. Okay, so I don't really recognize all of them. So we'll do some research. But I would like you to turn to Matthew 7. Okay, Matthew 7. You know, the fruit I get would be like the fruity pebbles. That's a good. It's a good healthy source of vitamin C or cancer or something. Jesus says this in Matthew 7. Let's go to verse 15. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Whoa, 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 whoa. So Jesus, you're telling us that there's going to be some bad people. But we won't be able to, they're going to look like everybody else. To us, it's silly to think of a wolf putting on sheep clothing and showing up and like, what's up, fellow sheep? And you're like, I can see your teeth. Like, how does that work? But the idea is, we're the flock, right? We are the sheep, all right? And there are going to be people that try to dress and look and talk like us. And some of those people are going to sneak in and they're going to deceive and they're going to trick and they're going to cut you off and then they're going to devour you, okay? So how am I going to know? Well, verse 16, you will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears what? Good fruit. It's pretty easy, right? Apple tree. Apples? Is there a grape tree? Grapevine? Grapes? Banana tree? Bananas? Christian? Fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit. That's the position we're looking at today. The position we just looked at is verse 19. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown in the fire. So the tree that the fruit is the nasty, gross, rotten, immorality, outburst of anger, lust, divisive. If that's the kind of fruit that's coming off you, then you're cut down and thrown to the fire. But the Christian, because we have the Holy Spirit and we're filled with the Holy Spirit and he's pushing that fruit out, that fruit is consistent with who he is. Look at verse 20. So then you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. And you're like, well, doesn't that sound works-based? No, what he's saying is this is a guarantee. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Oh, those sound like fruit. But all of those things were for show. All of those things were, whether they were for money or for self-piety. He says, I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Go back to the book of Galatians, and while you're turning there, Ephesians 5 says, let no one deceive you with words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. What do? We walk as children of light. Well, that's very helpful. When we're talking about walking by the Spirit, what do you mean? Well, it's like the light is on and you're walking to the light and you're walking by the light, but some of you don't want the light, you want the darkness. Why do you want the darkness? You think no one can see the bad things that you do. Most people don't go out, you know what? I'm going to go out and mug somebody in broad daylight. No, they don't do that because everybody's going to see them, right? And they're going to their face. So they want to be sneaky in the darkness of night. But you know what the dumb thing about that is? God sees everything. God knows everything. John 3, Jesus says, the light came into the world and men what? Hated the light for they love the darkness. I don't want other people to see my secret sins. I'm going to go hide over here. Well, God sees it. But now we're children of light. We come to the light. We want our deeds to be exposed. We want to repent. We want to repent. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Guys, it's a process. You're 11, 13, maybe you're 14. And there are times that you're going to make dumb mistakes. And there's times you're going to make bad choices. You can genuinely love the Lord and do that. But you repent, right? You come to the light. You confess it. You get help. We're trying. We're seeking and striving to grow. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of the darkness, but instead even expose them. You go over to a friend's house. And everybody's doing something. And you know you shouldn't. Well, what does a Christian do? It might be that I have to leave. It might be I have to expose what's going on. I don't want to be a part of it. You shouldn't be a part of it. But what are we tempted to do? You all right, Erickson? You okay, buddy? You need some help? You got a question? Okay. You... All right, instead of giving in to it, you got to expose it. You got to cut it out. But we're tempted sometimes, you know what? But they're going to make fun of me. If I don't watch this, if I don't laugh at that joke, if I don't treat that person that way, I'm the one they're going to get mad at. But look, guys, this is what we're called to do. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them, for it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light. So here, looking at your life, shining a bright light on it, I want you to look at this list and I want you to consider, does this describe you? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Does that describe you? This is the list. And I love what he says. He says, against such things there is no law. And you're like, I don't get it. What do you mean by that? Okay, well, John MacArthur clarifies. Says, even unbelievers do not make laws against such things as those which the fruit of the Spirit produces. There's no law that says, hey, You can't love people. Hey, self-control, that's illegal here, right? Because these are good. These are positive. These are things that we want. The world does not make a law against such behavior, but generally prizes it. Generally prizes it. And compare these two. We need to make sure that we are using biblical terminology in our life, okay? When I envy, I need to call it envy. When I am factious or something like that, when I have an outburst of anger, I need to call it that. I need to own it. And that's the sin that I need to put off. And then I need to, on the left, I need to put on the opposite fruit of the Spirit. The biblical process of change, which we memorize in our Bible memorization plan, Colossians 3:1, set your mind on things above. And then you put off the deed of the flesh. And then you put on the opposite fruit of the Spirit. So if I have outbursts of anger, I need to put on patience, or I need to put on kindness. That's how it works, right? If I'm envious, I need to instead put on joy. I need to put on peace, right? But this is our list that we're working from. And I wish we had more time. And I'm like, you're like, well, you write the teaching schedule. I'm sorry. I'm not going to be able to go through every single one of these in depth. But I think you understand what most of them are, right? When we talk about love, it's the word agape. It's the same that we already looked at in verse 14. And so when we go back to our last couple of lessons, if you're like, look, I just don't want to love people like that. If you have the Holy Spirit, you do. Yeah, you do. What about joy? All right, joy is the experience of gladness. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. This is one that's interesting because it's not that like I give you joy, all right? I can love you, okay? I can be patient with you, any one of you, you pick. But the joy is more like an internal thing, right? But what does our world do? Our world gets woe is me. Our world is depressed. Depression is a sin. It is a lack of trust in God. It is a lack of peace, and it is a lack of joy. So do you know that you are commanded at all times to have joy? This joy comes from a right relationship with God. This joy comes from being part of his kingdom. This joy comes from the Spirit he indwells you. Now, I'm not saying that you got to like skip all day and la, 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 la. But you can't be Eeyore. And I know you don't know who Eeyore is because people don't watch Winnie the Pooh anymore. But he's the donkey that, oh, no, 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 you know, that type of thing. You can't be the brooding, dark, depressed teenager. That is inconsistent with being in Christ. You need joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. One of my searing in my brain, now I believe I was a senior in high school and I was going to Los Amigos to meet with one of our youth leaders, okay, a small man named Brian Chandler. And there was something in particular in my life that, you know, I was wrestling with having joy. And he was like, Justin, you just need joy. And I'm like, I know. He's like, no, you need joy. And he grabbed me by the shoulder and he started skipping through the parking lot saying, rejoice in the Lord always. And he's twice my size, so I was skipping too. And I'm sure everybody there thought we were the weirdest people. But it was just a reminder that sometimes I take things too seriously. Sometimes our joy can be robbed in a moment. Someone says something, someone texts something, you lose something, or something doesn't go your way. But our joy is in the Lord, that we have eternity with him, and no one can take that from us. No one. And if you're sitting here today and you are depressed, God can give you joy. And it's much better than anything this world can offer you. What about peace? Peace is a state of agreement. You have peace with God. Remember, we were at war with God. We were battling him. We were fighting him. But we have laid down our weapons and we have submitted to him. But now we also have peace with other people. So what are your relationships like? Do you have a lot of people that are mad at you? Do you have a lot of people that you're bickering with and you're fighting with? Or people that you just enjoy picking on and stuff like that? No, we are to have a life of peace. It's a peace here, but it's also a peace. It's a harmony with other people. Patience. Patience is a state of being able to bear up under provocation. It's not just saying like, okay, there's dumb people in the world, I'll be patient with them. It's talking so much to the point, if someone's just poking you and jabbing you and trying to instigate you and hating you and lying about you, that you bear up under them even in light of that. That's how great your patience is. And you're like, that sounds really tough. It is. But you know who the ultimate example of patience is? God. His patience and his kindness is what leads us to repentance. If God was not patient, he would just squish us all. He's patient. He indwells me. So patience pours out from me. What about kindness? Are you a kind person? If other people were to describe you. Now, I know some of you make it hard for the rest of us. Because you are like uber kind. Right? You're the most kind people ever. And it's awesome. Keep it up. All right? But you're raising the bar, which I like. Okay? But overall, are you kind? Are you thoughtful? Are you considerate? Are you helpful? Are you beneficial? Remember when I walked through Romans 3 and I said all unbelievers are useless? You are. Are you beneficial to the kingdom? Are you beneficial to others? The quality of being helpful or beneficial. What about goodness? This is the positive moral quality characterized by interest in the welfare of others. Interest in the welfare of others, all right? Is that you? Are you exuding goodness? Are you generous and kind? Faithfulness, that which evokes trust and faith. You think of a marriage relationship. They are faithful to one another, okay? You are in the kingdom of God. Are you faithful to him? He's faithful to you. But are you quick to abandon him? Are you quick to ignore him? You must be faithful to God, but then you're faithful to others. We're not wishy-washy in our relationships. We are reliable because this is a fruit of the Spirit. What about gentleness? Now, this is the one. Remember, the New Testament was written in Greek, and then we translated it in English using words that we feel reflect the Greek word. This is the one word I wish we could tweak. Because it's better as meekness or humility, all right? Gentleness is what? It is the quality of not being overly impressed by a sense of one's self-importance, right? There is a viral trend in the youth baseball world that's reflecting what's going on in the college baseball world, where what do? When you hit that dinger? Well, right now, they're slamming their bats, and they're jumping up and down, and they're popping their shirts, and they're prancing around the bases. And the pitcher's thinking, next time, buddy, we'll see what happens. Look, I'm not saying you can't celebrate in a sport, but even in basketball, you score on someone, and you start doing all these signs and symbols, and you're making fun of people and stuff like that. Come on. Orchestra doesn't do that. You don't get first chair and violin and then start like dancing on your opponent. Our society promotes pride and selfishness. God doesn't. You know what? You might be that kid on the team that no one notices except your coach because you're doing it the right way and you're playing hard and you're doing all those things. Humble. That's what God wants, not considering myself better than other people. We know that that's what Jesus exhibited, right? Humbling himself to the point of death, even death on a cross. That's what it means to be gentle. Self-control. Need a little self-control sign out in the old Gaga pit, right? Self-control. A restraint of one's emotions, impulses, or desires. And you're going to Christian, you're going to struggle with this, but the hope is that you keep growing. And that you look back on your life and you say, wow, look at where I've gone and look at what I've done. Not flying off the handle. Restraining one's emotions, impulses, or desires. That's the fruit of the Spirit. And then our question is this you? Not is this your mom, not is this your dad, is this you? Well, it leaves ourselves with our final question of how do I produce this good fruit? You're like, I'm in, okay? I'm ready. I can see this from the Word of God. Look, I hate sin. How do I produce this fruit? Well, as a reminder, no spirit, no fruit. No spirit, no fruit. If you are not a Christian, if you have not submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, you will not bear good fruit because the Holy Spirit, He does not indwell you. And what you're going to keep producing is anger and immorality and selfishness and envy and pride. That's what you're going to produce. But if you're a Christian, here's the answer to our question. Psalm 1. Remember how we talked about being filled with the Spirit, walking by the Spirit, being led by the Spirit. Psalm 1. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Well, why is he not walking in the counsel of the wicked? Because he's walking by the Spirit. Nor does he stand in the path of sinners. Nor does he sit in the seat of scoffers. He will be like a tree firmly planted. You're like, oh, the tree illustration. It goes back to the Old Testament. Yeah, it does. He'll be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. Oh, can I have that? I like the prosperous thing. We're not saying like you get a bunch of money and you win all your sports and you know all da 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 da. You're prospering in life according to God's standards, right? Okay. But what about the wicked? The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. The righteous will last, the wicked will not. But you notice I left something out. What is the key piece that I left out? I left out verse 2. How blessed is the man, verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. Because you're sitting here and you're saying, I want to be that tree. I want to be that tree. The tree is firmly planted where? By streams of water. This is your water. You don't plant yourself in the desert. You plant yourself by the water. And that means verse 2, your delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water. And that's when you bear the fruit. That's when you bear the fruit. But we ask ourselves, what does it mean to delight? I think you know what it means. You value it. You love it. You obey it. I mean, there are things that you delight in, right? I don't know why my kids are in the whole Pokemon phase. The Pokemon cards and those things, and they'll get a pack, and they're like, yeah, they'll go to the vending machine, and they're like, what? Ah! Is that what we're like with the Word of God? Yes, Bible study morning, let's go. Yes. Hey, did you do your Bible study? No, I didn't, Mom, but I can't wait. I'm not saying it's got to be like some creepy thing like that, all right? But if they're like, hey, it's time to read, and you're like, that's not delighting. I would even go so far, guys, you need to grow up. You need to open up that Bible on your own. You're at the age, you don't need mommy and daddy poking and prodding you. I hope they're poking and prodding you. And if they are, please accept that and thank them for that. You need to be open that on your own. And when you come to church, is this the time that you simply endure? Or do you avoid big church because that lesson is too long for you, or it's too intellectual for you? That lesson today is amazing. Delight in it. And if you delight in it, you don't just read it. It says that he meditates day and night. You're not just sitting on a mountaintop going, the Lord is my shepherd. It's not saying that. Okay, but if you read, and then throughout the day, you think about what you read, or you're memorizing something, and then you're calling that to mind throughout the day. And so that when someone, you know, does something mean to me, and if I am thinking of the Lord is slow to anger, the Lord is patient, then I'm thinking about that and I'm applying it in my life. Now, there are times, honestly, we do what? We do this and we try to ignore God, or we try to ignore the Holy Spirit. But overall, as we grow and we grow, we say, hit me with it, God. I need the conviction that is there. But I mean, if you look at, I got onto you the other day, right? How many times this past week did you crack that book open? You don't delight in it. You don't delight in it. We're going to start a new program in June. And Lord willing, if you stick with it, you will have read through the entire Bible in the span of 2 years. And so that means there's a few more chapters involved. And some of you are going to look at that and be like, well, I don't know if I can make it through 2 chapters in Genesis. Yeah, you can. I know what you spend your time on. I know the YouTube that you watch, the video game that you play, the social media that you scroll through. You can do it. But you're only going to do it if you delight in it. And you're only going to be like this tree if you delight in God's word. The nearness of God is my good. His word brings me near to him. Let's pray. Lord God, you are great and awesome. You are so good to us. You are so kind to us. And I pray that we would be good and kind to others. Pray that we would serve you, that we would build others up, that we would delight in you and your word, that we would look at sin in our life and we would root it out, and that we would put on the opposite fruit because of what your son did for us. We love you, Lord. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.